Welcome to the Life in the City podcast from Antioch Community Church in Northeast Minneapolis, where we explore what it looks like to be a loving family inviting all people into the life-changing way of Jesus Christ. We're glad you're here. Welcome back, everybody, to the Life in the City podcast. Once again, I am Coley.
And I'm Rachel.
And it's just us this time. We've had a lot of company in the last couple of weeks, but we are just kicking it with the two of us and with a very adorable little mascot today, Abigail, sitting here next to us.
Yeah, if you hear little squeaks or rattling of a toy, no, it's not Coley and I just entertaining ourselves in the office. It is my eight-month-old trying to be entertained somehow while we record.
I am a bit of a fidgeter, but if you hear noises, I'm not holding a fidget spinner today. So that would be Abigail, but that's all right. I'm happy she's here. Well, today we are hitting our last core value. We have six of them, and we took a very long break just because of scheduling, and it made sense to wait on that. But we are finally able to hit our last one. So we've covered truth, pursuing God, organic community, holistic mission, creativity. That's the wrong order.
It's totally fine. We did them in the wrong order anyways. Yeah, true.
But now finally, intentional multiplication. And there's some really good reasons that this one is last, even though maybe the ones in the middle are not perfectly purposeful in their order. But yeah, this one is appropriately last. So let me read it and then we'll just talk about it. So here's what we said for intentional multiplication. In obedience to Jesus's mandate, we intentionally strive to make disciples of all people. We are committed to developing and multiplying leaders. We also desire to start new churches that start new churches. Our goal is to help ignite a movement of the gospel in the Twin Cities and beyond that will continue to the advancement of God's kingdom upon the earth, that will contribute to the advancement of God's kingdom upon the earth.
Yeah, and then we've got a lot of scriptures kind of built into this as well in our core value. So we will touch on a few of those scriptures, but just know if you ever want to look at all the scriptures in depth, these are all on our website as well, antiochcommunity.org, in the What We Believe section. But yeah, let's hop into this because there's a lot here.
Yeah, there is. I think probably the best way is actually to look at those passages. Mm-hmm. So the first one that we mention is Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And this is a very familiar passage for a lot of people, but the heading that in most of our Bibles is called the Great Commission. And so let me just read that quick. Matthew 28. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So this is probably a summary or a portion of Jesus' final teachings to his disciples before he ascends into heaven. After he has died on the cross and risen from the dead and been around for a while, then as he is ascending into heaven, this is part of what he sends them with as he goes. And this, for generations, has been seen as the commission to the whole church, not just to the disciples.
It really is it's a co-mission.
Yeah.
Co meaning more than just one to a group of people, right? If we're getting into the language of it. But it's not individualistic, as we often think about in our American context. It is for a whole group, for the church as a whole.
Right. And there's kind of some key instructions. The things that he specifies, that Jesus specifies to communicate. He says to make disciples, baptizing them, and teaching them. Mm-hmm. So there's the making disciples is the main verb there. A lot of times it's easy to think that based on the English, it would be natural to think that the main verb is the word go therefore. But actually, sorry, this is kind of nerdy and I don't want to imply that you have to know the Greek to understand scripture, but this is just one of those times when you see some different depth to it. Mm-hmm. but in the Greek, it's actually more like as you are going, therefore, make disciples.
Ah, so it's like a participle form of
yes,
the word.
Yes, exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it's not in the imperative. It's not in a command form. But make disciples is. And so that's the main that's the main command. Make disciples. And then the other two are, the other three, you could even say, are clarifiers. As you're going, you're baptizing, and you're teaching. Mm. And yeah, so that is broad strokes. That's what we're trying to do. And we're trying to be faithful to the Great Commission.
And I love that because we often think of like the Great Commission is for missionaries, right? Like people who go beyond it, like borders of countries to seek to make disciples. But it's as we're going even across the street, as we're going within our city limits, we are seeking to make disciples. And I think so often we as the church, we get stuck in this place where we expect people to come to us all the time. Mm. But there is this mindset in it of like, we are actively seeking to make disciples. So that means sometimes we might meet people that come to us, but other times we might have to literally walk across the street or walk across the aisle at church to meet somebody new, or walk across lines of discomfort as Midwesterners and get to know somebody a little deeper in order to make disciples.
Have that small talk. It's about disciple making. Yeah, I kind of grew up in a, and maybe you did too, where it was like, you said, you know, it's for missionaries. Like there was this, bodies of water were spiritual.
Oh yeah.
You know, like if you crossed an ocean, you were serious. You know?
Hillsong Oceans was like the song for missionaries at one point, right?
Oh, funny. But then just much more recently in the last, what was it, 8 years ago that Pastor Andy went to India and met with some of the church planters that we support over there, or with the network at least. And I remember one story he was telling when he came back about a pastor that was really passionate about church planting and had done just an insane number. I mean, you hear the numbers from India and you're like, that can't be real, but God is at work and it's incredible what they're doing. And there was I think it was a guy being raised up in one of these villages, because they were in a very rural part of the country. And this Andy was like, well, what's your dream? Where do you want to go? Like, what's next? And he says, just over the next hill.
Wow.
And well, then what? Well, over the next hill. Because these villages are so isolated that every single one of them needs a church or needs to hear the gospel. And Andy just talked about it like it just broke him. You know, like we want to go to the next coolest place, or we want to, you know, feel like it has to be something really big.
Yeah.
But like, no, just next door.
Wow.
Need Jesus too.
That's powerful. And I mean, seeking to make churches within the context of what that village looked like in that place at that time is important to think about, right? He wasn't looking at like bringing or taking the church that he had and making it bigger so that they could come to him. It was, right. No, how do they need the gospel spoken to them within their context so that they can know it and then disciple within that village themselves? That's beautiful.
Yeah. So that's the first sentence really of our paragraph here. In obedience to Jesus's mandate, i.e. the Great Commission, we intentionally strive to make disciples of all people. But then we get a little more specific in saying that we are committed to developing and multiplying leaders, because the only way to multiply churches is to multiply people at every level. And that doesn't mean that we're only prioritizing developing leaders or only developing pastors or only church planters or what have you.
We don't want to see people as like a commodity of like, oh, you're worthy of leadership, or I see these skills in you, so I'm going to invest in you. But this person over here, I don't see these particular strengths, and so I'm not going to invest in you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. and part of it is that remembering that the idea of disciple making is, you could say spectrum for lack of a better word, but it's everything from pre-Christian to pastor. Not that pastors are always the most mature, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that it's disciple making happens at every phase in that, or every spot in that spectrum of someone who just is running from God or doesn't even believe he exists, to someone who is already multiplying leaders, let's say. And one of the reasons for that is somewhat just practical, that you have to multiply leaders because one person can't do it all.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, you see Paul make a quick reference to, as he's giving instructions to Timothy, he makes a quick reference to the, like, kind of a sustainability model of disciple making. I'll start in verse 1 of chapter 2. "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me," that is Paul, "in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." So in this one quick verse, you see four generations of disciple making.
Abigail's very excited about disciple making.
Hey, I'm all right with it. You see four generations of disciple making in this one verse. Paul to Timothy, to others, to others. Because that's what's needed to expand the gospel. Because one person is not going to reach everybody.
Yeah, and we see this even in the early church in Acts, too, when you have some of the disciples ministering to people in the city, and they realize there's a need for people to specifically shepherd widows and orphans, and they're trying to do it all, and they realize we can't do it all, right? And so they literally set up sub-leaders to help care and shepherd for people because and disciple them because they know they can't do it all. And I think that's a model we see and that we strive to do in our church is just even the people paid on staff are not the only people shepherding and caring and discipling at Antioch. We have other leaders, other people that we seek to entrust as well with that goal. It's not all on one person.
Right. And there's joy that comes with that and amazing things that come with raising up and sending out leaders. But there's also something bittersweet about raising up and sending out leaders.
Yeah.
So like Pastor Andy talked about in his podcast a couple weeks ago, you know, when we sent out our church, the church plant that we sent, it was incredible and so exciting and fun in a lot of ways, but also really, really, really hard.
Yeah.
You know, because you say goodbye to those people and you don't see them every week anymore. And there's a void because you raised up those leaders and now they're not leading in your space, in your group. So they're leading somewhere else. But you have, that's where you really have to keep the bigger picture in view, that it is worth it to do that. And it does mean that sometimes those of us in leadership, like you and I, have to be willing to relinquish control, and maybe even see things done as long as it's not sinful. You know, if it's not against God's word, maybe I let things go that are being done in a way that is different than what I think is maybe best, or maybe just my preference.
Yeah.
In the name of letting someone else experience how to lead.
Yeah.
And learn by doing. And maybe they come to the same conclusion that I already have. but those kinds of growing pains with raising up leaders is all part of it.
I mean, my husband and I lead a community group here at Antioch, and we actually just went through some growing pains as well in our own community group because we were getting, I mean, as you know, quite large, and some of our community groups have grown quite large, and we were up to, I think, 17 adults.
Oh my
word. Logistically, just fitting all those adults, plus we have some babies in our group, into our living room on Tuesday evenings was just getting harder. And when you want to seek to build true community where you are having some level of vulnerability, it just gets harder when numbers get bigger.
Totally.
So we had a couple in our community group who felt led to start a community group. And so we did what was an intentional multiplication of our community group, and six from our group left our group to go start another one.
Oh my word.
And my husband and I were kind of like, wait, we didn't mean like this, like, yeah, our friends are leaving us, you know, and we're still left with friends, but it's like, you feel the loss of like people, their personalities, their characteristics, the ways in which they use their giftings within our group. And totally. Now it's like, okay, now we have to kind of redefine who we are. And so you absolutely do feel those gospel goodbyes, but with the assurance that, oh, wow, look how those gifts and those people going out from us are going to maybe do things a little differently, but in a way that is good and beneficial for one another, for the community that they are living and serving in. So that's, yeah, I think that goes along with our next scripture too, which is Ephesians 4. And that is where Paul is basically telling the Ephesian church that when Christ left, he gave us different callings and ways to fulfill the Great Commission. You know, he gave to the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers. And we can even see in some of Paul's teachings even later, too, about how we are the body of Christ and how we all have different roles and giftings in that. And I love verses 15 and 16 here. It says, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. And I think that's a beautiful way to talk about how even if we're all doing even something a little bit different, we're working together as one greater church body to point people to Christ, to build his kingdom here on earth. And we know that there are spiritual giftings that we have from the Spirit, people that are great at exhortation, people that are great at discerning. And I think even within a body of Christ, we're able to see some of those giftings on Sunday mornings, but there's some that we're more easily able to see as we are in community with one another, as we are building discipleship patterns through community groups and DNA groups. Sure. Because I may not know that, you know, a certain person has the gift of exhortation, but when I sit down over coffee with that person and we are discussing things, they might be able to speak truth into my life of ways that they see the Spirit at work or needing to work in my life that I'm not letting him. Or, you know, we get the shepherding aspect from Andy, or like the discernment and wisdom from the Word on Sunday mornings. But there are others who maybe are not a pastor who have that as well, that when I'm able to dig into the scriptures with them, I can see them using their gifts, and it's for the building up of the body and the growth of the church. And I think that's just a beautiful thing. And we see that in starting new churches, but also when we have people within our church who, it's almost like those latent gifts that are under the surface, that when people start using them, we see that our church can grow, yes, in some spiritual maturity, but also in its ability to bring in new people and allow our current leaders' gifts to be used a bit more.
Yeah, and I think you're hitting on a really important piece there, is that it's not just about developing leaders. It's not just about developing leaders, but it's about developing followers of Jesus who are maturing at every level. So if you've been a Christian for 5 minutes, you can disciple someone because you can tell someone about Jesus, especially someone who doesn't know him. You know, your testimony is powerful. And if, you know, you feel like, well, I've been a Christian, or I am a Christian, but I don't know, I'm not a leader. Like, well, that doesn't mean that you're not a disciple maker, because everyone makes disciples. So it's, I think it can be helpful to think about it in terms of not, how am I supposed to become a leader? How am I supposed to make leaders? But rather, how can I invite someone else in to what I'm already doing?
Yeah.
And teach them that. So maybe it's a skill, maybe, you know, it's like hospitality or speaking or tech or whatever, you know. But more likely it's something that is maybe less tangible, like patience or modeling grace or modeling, you know, speaking the truth in love and helping people not just see that and be inspired by it, but when you use your gifts, you can also explain what you're doing. And that is a way to help other people grow in those areas and be encouraged by your gifts.
And I love that you said leading people into what you're already in. Because I think sometimes we think of leaders and we're like, oh, let's go to this place together. And we're both gonna, we see this in the workplace too, where it's like, we have this goal and we want to get there together. But I think in leadership in a biblical sense, especially when Paul says it to Timothy, like, follow me as I follow Christ. It's like you're modeling, I desire this and I want you to desire it as well. So I'm not going to be an effective leader or discipler to expect somebody to grow spiritually if I'm not also seeking that as well. It needs to come out of a natural place of, I'm seeking this, I'm learning it as well, I'm allowing God to sanctify me in my life, and so I desire that for you too, because I see the joy and the beauty that can come from that.
You know, this reminds me of a conversation that I had not remembered until right now, that we had in our DNA group a few months ago. And we were in, I don't even think it was the main passage, but the passage came up where Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Mm-hmm. And we all sort of agreed that can be a tough passage to listen to because it sounds a little haughty.
Yeah. Like, look at me, Timothy.
Yes, yes. But the more we talked about it, where we kind of landed was that, no, Paul is following Jesus. And he's talking to people who either aren't or haven't been for as long. And he's saying, no, like, watch what I'm doing and model it. Now, if I'm talking to Dax, if I'm talking to my son, and let's say before he learned to walk, and if I had talked to him about walking the way that we talk to each other about following Jesus, it would have sounded a little insane. Okay,
you
honey.
You need to learn to love to walk.
Yeah, yeah, you know, like, I want you to do it if you want to do it. But, you know, everybody does it a little differently. Mm-hmm. You know, there's we cushion it so much in our spiritual life when we encourage, we're trying to encourage people, but really we're kind of like watering it down.
Yeah.
And I think it's possible to say, imitate me as I imitate Christ in the fullest of humility. I don't think Paul is saying I'm doing it perfectly. He's saying, you want to know how to walk? Oh, I know how to walk. Uh-huh. I'm not saying I've never tripped, you know,
or that I'm a beautiful runner.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But I know that it's left, right, left, right.
Uh-huh.
And that's how kids learn. We should, hey, try this, do this.
That's hilarious. My husband and I have literally been on the floor with our daughter recently trying to like teach her how to crawl. Cause yeah. She's dragging her face on the ground. She's like, it's so unpretty.
Yeah.
But like, we're literally on the ground helping her move her like arms and legs, like the left, right, getting that motion down. And little by little, we're seeing some progress, right? But it's only because she's got to get that muscle memory. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, once kids learn how to do it, you can't stop them.
Totally.
But it is the literally just follow along with me.
Yeah.
And then you'll see that there's value to this, but you may not understand the value until you've done it for some time.
Totally. And if you or Joel have the foresight to video the other one doing that manually with her on the floor, please do that, because you end up, and this is just a lesson for those in leadership, I think, for anybody who's developing or discipling someone else, you will look ridiculous in the process.
Mm-hmm.
You will look completely insane. If anyone else comes in and you're crawling and he goes, what is happening right now? Oh, well, I was showing Abigail how to crawl, but she just rolled under the couch and now I'm crawling by myself.
Yep.
You know, like you end up in these silly situations that you're like, oh, this is not. This is weird. But it's Paul says too, I'm willing to put up with just about everything for the sake of the gospel.
Yeah.
I'm willing to look like a fool for the sake of the gospel. And so for us, you know, at whatever level, and again, I don't like the word level. I don't like these.
Yeah. We don't level up like Mario in our Christian life. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like the pastors are, what, you think you're better than me? You know, like, yeah, it's, and uh-huh. They don't, you know. But at whatever place you are in, you are not just able to make disciples, but you are called to make disciples.
Yeah.
And that might be at Antioch. It might be, but it's for sure in your family.
Mm-hmm.
And in your workplace, in your neighborhood. There are these relational contexts that you have naturally that are opportunities to live out the gospel and, Lord willing, see people come to Christ and come to maturity and make disciples themselves. which I think is a pretty, you know, it can feel like a slow burn here in the US.
Oh yeah.
But it's so awesome when it happens.
All right. So big picture then. We have all these core values, intentional multiplication being one. We've talked about like how it happens, but why? Why is this important? Why did Jesus tell us to do this? I mean, I know we can't get into the mind of God, but what is the fruit that we see coming from it? Why is it worthwhile?
Yeah, just a quick question
yeah.
for the end. You know, there's a lot of things that Jesus said that are mysterious or baffling. Like, the one that I always think of is, how must the disciples have felt when he said, it's better that I go, because I will send my spirit. And in the moment to think like, wait, we have God in flesh right here, and you're saying it's better if you're not here?
Yeah.
That's crazy. And I even think sometimes, yeah, man, I think it'd be nice if you were here in the flesh. But the reality is that as believers, we have been indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Mm. And in coming to Christ, we're not just coming to a belief system, but we have been invited into the family of God, the kingdom of God, yeah. as we say in the paragraph. And that is not just a title, not just, you know, it's not just fire insurance, as maybe people said in the 90s, but it's also an identity. It's we are made in God's image. And in coming to Christ, we bear his image to the world. And in relationship, we do that more and more.
Yeah, I mean, we can see that going all the way back to the garden. Like, God made humans in relationship with him. He walked and talked with them. Adam and Eve had relationship with one another and with God. And you're right, as image bearers, we need to be telling people about God in relationship. I love the illustration I heard one time, and I really cannot remember who said it or where. But basically, we as beggars telling other beggars where we got our bread, right? It's this whole like word of mouth kind of thing. Like, hey, come here. I got this. You should get it too. Because God in his infinite wisdom doesn't just download knowledge about who he is into our brains once we accept a faith right in him.
Right.
He allows other believers to help impart that knowledge and that experience with the help of his spirit. And I think you're right that allowing us to be in relationship is allowing us to be more like him.
So as we wrap up, I just want to remind everybody like what core values are, that they are more unique to us as a church than, say, our statement of faith. That they're not at the same level as the statement, Jesus Christ is Lord.
Yeah.
but they are important to us as Antioch, and they will remain the same for the foreseeable future. That whether pastors come and go, elders come and go, certainly members have come and gone over the years, and we've sent people out and whatever, that these six things have remained, and they may evolve how they are expressed, and all of that, but they are still who we are. And more than that, even more than that, the truth of the gospel and the truth of who Jesus is and what he has done and the hope that we can have in him, that is certainly never changing. And so as we enter into a season now of having an interim pastor at some point and starting to go through a search process for a new lead pastor, there's a lot of things that will feel unsettled, but that isn't one of them. We can feel secure in our relationship with Jesus. We can be secure in our family of Antioch, even though individual members may change, that we are still a loving family, inviting all people into the life-changing way of Jesus, kids and all.
Yeah.
I So that's kind of what I would want to remind everybody with the core value conversation we've been having.
Yeah, that's great. I think this is a great one to wrap up on. It's been a journey to go through these core values, and I'm really thankful to have you here as being somebody who is in the room, right, for the creation of these core values. But yeah, you're right. It's on all of us to continue seeking out how we want to demonstrate these.
Yeah, it's been fun for me to kind of review all of this. Going forward, you may notice a change in our posting schedule. I think we're going to start doing every other week, especially going into the holidays and whatnot. But just know we haven't gone anywhere. It just may be less often. So, until next time, have a great week. Go live in the city.
This has been the Life in the City podcast, brought to you by Antioch Community Church in Northeast Minneapolis. Join our worship service at 10 a.m. on Sundays in the Waterbury Building, or contact us at podcast@antiochcommunity.org. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.